हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः दिस् उपनिषत् बिगिनिङ्ग् विद् a question word, an instrumental case, kena. Known as Kena Upanishad, is a mantra Upanishad occurring in Talavakara Brahmanam of Samaveda as the nine content of the ninth chapter. And the elaboration of this Upanishad is another Brahman Upanishad called Brahdaranyaka Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, belonging to the same Veda. Chandogya Upanishad. This Upanishad, like any other Upanishad, is in the form of a dialogue, even though the names of the teacher and the student are not mentioned. It begins with a question from a student. The very question proves the brilliance, the intelligence of the student. There is a clear understanding on the part of the student that this physical body, which is active and alive, definitely becomes dead. Sometimes, which means when the body is alive and active, there must be something else which is indwelling in this physical body, the presence of which makes this physical body active and alive, the absence of which makes this body dead and insentient. And that which indwells the body, that which leaves the body, departs of which makes the body dead, that is mainly the mind. Not just the mind, there are also physiological functions. There are subtle factors indwelling this gross body. And the subtle powers are indriyani. And the physical part, the locus where these subtle powers obtain, are known as golakani. The golakams belong to the physical body. The subtle powers are distinct, but they indwell in their own respective locuses in this physical body. So we have five subtle sense powers, five subtle powers of organs of actions, known as Jnanendriyani, Karmendriyani, and there are physiological functions. Of course, there is an Antahkaranam, which is involved in, which is associated with different functions, thereby even given four different names, as Ahankara, Chittam, Manaha, Buddhi, etc. But here, it is the mind, because of the presence of which body is alive, all sense powers are functional, which means the mind by itself, though it is subtle, though it's inexplicably subtle, is mind is also product of subtle matter. Mind is also elemental product. Mind also is pancha bhautikam. This mind, which happens to be the elemental product, naturally must be inert. It is by itself of the nature of inertness. If the mind is inert, it cannot be conscious by itself, it cannot be sentient by itself, it cannot be functional by itself, nor can it make other powers function. And mind plays an important role of being the illuminator of the sense organs and sense powers. Thereby, through the sense powers, mind in fact comes in contact with the external world, because of which even association, contact with the external world is possible. But enjoyment of external objects, perception of external objects, experience of external objects itself is possible because of the function of mentation. So the student's question is, what is that which makes this mind conscious and sentient? Without the blessing of which, this inert mind by itself cannot be functional. The mind consisting of many thoughts, entertaining thoughts, through the sense powers, falls on different objects. False means comes in contact with different objects, illumines the external world of objects. What enables his mind function? Because of the blessing of which mind really falls on different objects, lands upon different objects. kena ishitam manaha preshitam, kena ishitam patati manaha preshitam. The first question. Then next question. Even the physiological function is a function of one vital air. Only one vital air is involved in five different functions. And because of these functions, in fact, body is continuously energized, supplied with energy. So all the sense powers are energized and are functional. Which means, these pranas, one vital air, enjoy different names, functional names as pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha, governing different functions. How do these pranas function? What is that which really makes these functions happen? Kena prayuktaha praiti pranaha. Next question. He doesn't mention all the sense powers. It's implied. What is that which really makes all sense powers, all powers function? He mentions the organ of speech. Kena ishitam imagam vacham vadanti. People are capable of uttering words. What is it which enables the organ of speech function? Because of which utterance of words is possible. What is that which really make this sense powers function? Ka u devaha yunakti. Last he uses the term devaha. That the expression devaha, I said in the class, is the one who is of the nature of effulgence. Effulgent. What is that effulgent being? Which means there must be a distinct consciousness principle which enables these material products indwelling the physical body function. Kau devaha. The student is capable of something distinct, capable of understanding the presence of something distinct from the subtle body. The student is capable of understanding the existence of something distinct from these material aspects, which is distinct, but the presence of which alone must have made this material inert matter, which means it makes the inert matter conscious and sentient. This is the question. So the teacher has to give an answer, and the teacher gives an ingenious answer. He does not give a direct answer. And we all remember, he said, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Manaso Manaha, Chakshushas Chakshuhu, Vachoha Vacham. This is the answer, which is indirect answer. That Devaha, the intelligent, effulgent consciousness principle, is the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, mind of the mind. This is the answer he gave. Having said that, he also said, and those who discover that consciousness principle, Devaha, the effulgent being, obtaining as the eye after eye, ear after ear, etc., and they become free from suffering while living in this world, and even after, when the body falls apart, they attain videha muktihi. Asmat lokat pretya amritaha bhavanti. Pretya asmat lokat amritaha bhavanti. Not only did he give the answer indirectly, he also mentioned the benefit of discovering that consciousness principle. The question comes, why did the teacher not give the direct answer? Why did he not say it is Atma? Why did he not say it is consciousness? Why did he not say you are that consciousness principle? Why he did not give any direct answer? That is the reason. Because we are naturally of the orientation of always objectifying things. When we want to know something, immediately we search for objects as meanings of words. We will definitely search for anything as meaning of the words. And here, this consciousness principle being not an immediate meaning of any word, it cannot be really described by any word. Therefore, he did not utter the word directly. Second thing, even if he mentioned the word consciousness, you or something, he would have searched for consciousness or Atma as one of the many objects. He would have seen, he would have thought, there are so many things in the world which are known to me. Like fruits, there are living beings and non-living things, there are mobile beings, immobile beings. And like consciousness is one of the many things. He would have taken consciousness as one of the many objects in the world, and he would have started searching for it. Even if the teacher told him that you are the Atma, you are consciousness, because already, even though he does not know, he asked intelligence question, still his identity is with the body. He would have taken that body as the meaning of the word you. So he did not give a direct answer. If the student has to directly arrive at that vastu cognitively, the student has to cognitively arrive at that subject, vastu, the reality, and the best answer is indirect answer. Where is it available for recognition? He gave an answer in such a way that he will look for that vastu only as the something. Where is it available? How is it available? So when he said Shrotrasya Shrotram Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, eye of the eye or ear of the ear is that which makes the sense power function as sense power. What is that which enables the seeing power function as seeing power? What is that which enables the hearing power function as hearing power? The student has to think. Ear of the ear is that which makes the hearing power function. Yes. How can there be function of hearing, function of listening, without the hearer? How can there be a function of seeing without the seer? How can there be a function of thinking without the thinker? How can there be the function of breathing without the one who breathes? Therefore, the ear of the ear is the hearer, eye of the eye is the seer, mind of the mind is the thinker, prana of the prana is the one who breathes, which means he connects the seer with reference to eyes is eye, the hearer with reference to ears is I, the thinker with reference to mind is I, the knower with the intellect is I. I am the knower, I am the hearer, I am this one involved in all functions, which means that knower, hearer, the one who obtains as the hearer, knower, seer, thinker is the truth. Vastu. So this is where the teacher really distinguished already. The truth, the consciousness principle, definitely is not available as an object. It is definitely available for recognition only as the swarupam of the subject, subject of knowledge. Swarupam of the subject of knowledge means that without which there cannot be knower, that without which there cannot be seer or hearer. In fact, the student who is given this answer searches for the eye of the eye as the seer, ear of the ear as the hearer, and mind of the mind as the thinker, and definitely he knows. If he finds, searches for who is the thinker, who is the hearer, who is the knower, if he searches, definitely he will come to know, he will stumble upon the reality, formless reality. And the formless is the most abstract, subtlest. Why do we say subtlest? Because sense powers themselves are said to be subtle, and the truth, the vastu, because of which the sense powers function, is much subtler. Subtlest and abstract, formless. Why it is abstract? Formless. And the searching for who is the subject of knowledge, the knower is, hearer is, will enable the student stumble upon formless reality, formless vastu. In fact, he will find out, when he arrives at the reality, abstract reality, obtaining as the knower, hearer, etc., he will find out the fact, really speaking, there is no knower or hearer or seer other than the formless reality. And this hearer, seer, etc. are all temporary titles attributed to the truth from the standpoint of the sense powers. And what word can we use to mean this, indicate this vastu? No word can be used. And being conscious is the nature of that vastu, that formless abstract vastu, which the person stumbles upon, searching as the truth of the knower. Knowing is its swarupa. Why does it know? Knowing is not an action. Seeing is not an action. Hearing is not an action. It is the swarupam. Swarupam of, especially knower. Knowing is the swarupam. Swarupam means very nature. Like how illumining is the nature of the sun. Illumining is the nature of any light, not an action. Like knowing is the swarupam of the vastu. Therefore, the word jnanam is used. Knowledge. So in what form does reality obtain in the mind of every human being? As the very truth of the knower, the subject of knowledge. As the truth of I in the mind, only in the form of knowledge. The word chit is used. Chaitanyam chit. This is made very clear. Reality has to be, can be arrived at only in one's own mind as the very truth of the knower I. There's no other way. You can never arrive at reality as an object. If you search for reality as an object, you will be an utter failure. And having said this, given this answer, this is only a very brief answer, but later on, the following mantras actually elaborate on this answer. We saw, importantly, sense powers do not reach this Atma, do not have any access to this reality. Now I use the term Atma because we do not know what Atma is. The same reality which a person arrives at as the swarupam of the truth of the I, the knower, which is of the nature of knowing, is implied by the term jnanam, is also actually implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all-pervasiveness. All-pervasiveness. So words do not have access, sense powers do not have access, powers of organs of action do not have access. So pranas do not have access means this reality, abstract reality, is not an object, not at all an object. It is not available for objectification. It cannot be perceived through sense organs. It cannot be conceived through the mind. It is not an object of thought. It is not an object of sense organs. It is not an object of action. It is not an object of description. Not a describable object. Why? Because conscious, the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, we arrive at the abstract reality only in terms of its nature of knowing, therefore consciousness, the knowledge, is the very truth. It's a truth that without which something else cannot exist. The swarupam, essential nature, is a truth of the words, truth of the sense powers, truth of the powers of organs of actions, truth of the very mind. Therefore, it can never become an object of instruments of knowledge. Is it clear? So realities, even the mind is used to arrive at the reality, means when Upanishad says only through the mind it has to be attained, reality has to be attained. The reality implied by the term Atma has to be attained. And the Upanishads say, many people mistake it for an object of thought. I made it very clear here. Of course, only in the mind reality has to be discovered. Realities are available for recognition only in the mind. but not as an object of thought, but as the very swarupam of the thought. I want to make it very clear. Swarupam means what? See, if I say the swarupam of illuminator is light, swarupam of the illuminator is light, or truth of the illuminator is light, if I say, what it means is light and illuminator are not two different things. They are one and the same. How do we say that? If we turn the switch off, the light is, light goes away, the light disappears, the illuminator also disappears. Which means there is no such a thing called illuminator other than the light. Understand? The light is, the illuminator is. Light goes, illuminator is not there. Which means illuminator is only a name given to the light from the standpoint of the illumined objects. Illuminator is a title attributed to the light from the standpoint of illumined objects. Without the light, there is no illuminator. Light is, illuminator status is. Light goes, light loses the illuminator status. Is it clear? Therefore, that without which there cannot be illuminator, that which alone is in the form of illuminator, that which alone enjoys the status of the illuminator, is the truth of the illuminator. Swarupam of the illuminator. Is it clear now? Similarly, if you ask who is the knower obtaining in the mind, you cannot deny this. When you analyze, there is a knower. There is a knower. This knower is there as a hearer, a thinker, a seer. There is a knower. There is an experiencer. We have three states of experience. In all the changing states of experience, there is unchanging experiencer. Who is that unchanging experiencer? You really look for it. There is no, you can't find somebody sitting there. That experiencer is Atma. Experiencer is the abstract reality, consciousness. There is no experience other than this. So knower experience is only a name, title attributed to the abstract, formless reality, consciousness. A knowing is the swarupa, the nature of reality. Why does it know? Why does it know? Why does it not? Why is it not keeping quiet? Why does it know? Knowing is not an action, very nature. Therefore, it is made very clear, it is the reality, abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing, obtained as the very swarupam of I, the knower, subject in all the minds. One and the same reality is not part of the matter, material, body, mind, sense complex. It is not property of the body, mind, sense complex. It is not even the product of matter, as how the scientists think. It is an independent entity. Consciousness is an independent entity, which has no time, which has no beginning, which has no end, which has undergone any change. And this consciousness pervades the mind, pervades sense organs, pervades organs of actions, pervades the entire physical body. At the same time, the consciousness is not limited by any peripheries, the boundaries of the body, mind, sense complex. And it is this consciousness which continues to survive even when the body falls apart. It is this consciousness actually the truth of I, content of I. So I, in fact, if you ask what is the meaning, content of the word I, every word has its meaning. Every word denotes a corresponding object. Phone, key, book, specs, mic, table, I. What is it? What is the substance of the substantive I? Formless, abstract, all-pervasive consciousness. Okay? So it is not an object of thought. It is not an object. It's not an object obtaining, available as the immediate meaning of any word. It's not an object of action. Natatra chakshur gacchati na vaag gacchati na manaha. You saw that. Then the question comes, what is that consciousness? How can I understand consciousness? If this consciousness is the very sarupam of the knower, if the same consciousness is the sarupam of the knowledge, the same consciousness is the sarupam of the known also, it is this consciousness implied by the term Atma is the truth of knower, known and knowledge. How do you say? There cannot be knower without the consciousness. Just as there cannot be illuminator of the opaque things without the light. So without consciousness there cannot be knower. If there is no knower, there cannot be knowledge. If there is no knowledge, means there cannot be the known. So what is that because of the presence of which knower is possible? Thereby knowledge is possible. Thereby even the known can enjoy existence. Therefore, it is this consciousness which is the only truth of knower, knowledge and the known. Consciousness is free from this knower, known, knowledge division, which is implied by the term Atma. How can you understand? There comes the most important verse of the Keno Upanishad and the whole Shastra literature. Pratibodha viditam matam. Pratibodha viditam matam. And I said, bodhaha means cognition, bodhaha means knowledge. Bodham, bodham, viditam is patibodha viditam. We need not go and search for this consciousness anywhere. Whenever experience is, the experience is possible because of this Atma, the consciousness, who obtains as the experiencer. Whenever this knowledge takes place of any object, and that knowledge is possible because of the presence of the consciousness as the knower, any cognition is, means there's a cognizer. Atma is there as the cognizer, knower, experiencer. Where? How can I understand? This is where we have to understand the objects, external objects, the entire objective universe, including our body, mind, sense complex. The objective universe is inclusive of our own body, mind, sense complex. The knower, if you distinguish the knower I from the known world of objects, the known world includes our states of experience, states of mind, our body, mind, sense complex, everything is object, part of the objective universe. So objective universe means the known. The known. How can there be the known without the knower? The known, for anything known to be here, to have the status of being the known, to enjoy the status of being the known, is possible because of the presence of the knower. How can there be the knower without the known? How can there be the knower, known without the knower? Understand? And here, the object becomes known because objects are perceived through the sense organs. That's fine. Objects are known, the external objects, world of objects, become known because they are perceived through the sense organs. Now the question comes, how do the sense organs perceive, function? The sense organs are functioning because they become conscious and sentient because of the blessing of the mind. Because only when the thoughts rise in the mind, thoughts travel through sense powers, the sense powers also become functional and sentient, and then perception also is possible. Which means the external world definitely is dependent on sense powers to be perceived for the world to become the known. For the perception to take place, the sense powers must be functional and active. For the sense powers to become functional and sentient, conscious and active, definitely mind must be functional. Mind must be functional means thoughts must rise. Okay? And which means there's a conscious, sentient mind consisting of thoughts. There's a time thoughts resolve, there's a time thoughts rise. Why is this mind functioning like this? That is the nature of the mind. Okay? That's why always mind is likened to a monkey. When can monkey sit quietly? Tell me. Bring the monkey here sometime. Give the instruction. Sit here, I'll give you bananas, don't move anywhere. As soon as you give bananas, then within no time it will finish eating. Start jumping. My monkey can never, the most restless animal is monkey. Know that? The most restless. It cannot remain. That's why mind is always likened to a mischief monger or monkey. Mind is of the nature of resolving, rising, resolving, rising, resolving, rising. That's the nature. But this mind, it enjoys the status of the existent because of the blessing of consciousness. Like suppose consciousness is always there. Now, because of which mind is capable of functioning. So, I told you, thoughts must rise. Thought by itself is inert. Thought rises, and many thoughts, each and every thought, there's a shrotra vritti, netra vritti, grana vritti, rasana vritti, five different thoughts really travel through five different sense powers. And they illumine the object which fall within the range. But thoughts themselves are inert. What is that which is really there, which enables each and every thought function is the consciousness. So in fact, cognition means thought, the consciousness plus thought is cognition. Consciousness plus thought is experience. Consciousness plus thought is knowledge. Thought by itself cannot even exist without consciousness. Where is the question of thought becoming knowledge? Consciousness without the thought also cannot become cognition. Therefore, we say, the consciousness is always there, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly. Thoughts which come and go in the presence of consciousness. Therefore, we say, the consciousness in the presence of thoughts is what? Manifest knowledge. Just as this opaque thing is looked upon as reflection of light. The light in the presence of opaque is reflected light, and the reflected light is nothing but the pure light. And the light in the presence, because of the presence of which opaque is shining, is looked upon as the reflection of the light. Similarly, the thought in the presence of consciousness is manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of consciousness. Every thought, the relevant thought rises, relevant thought assumes the form of relevant object. Suppose sound thought, shabdakara vrittihi, rupakara vrittihi, vishayat, whatever is the object perceived, there is a corresponding thought. And each and every vritti shines in the presence of consciousness. Therefore, that's something called cognition is possible. Cognition is thought which rises, which assumes, travels, which assumes the form of an object, which shines in the presence of consciousness is knowledge, manifest knowledge. Every thought, every cognition is manifestation of knowledge. So the thoughts which come and go are dependent on consciousness to come to light. It is consciousness which does not come and go, which is always there. Because of the presence of which thoughts shine, thoughts reveal the objects, the consciousness is the swarupam of the thoughts. In every cognition, the cognitions, the thoughts keep on changing. Thoughts are varied and different. The objects of thought are varied and different. And all the variable thoughts, variable cognitions, in changing thoughts, what is unchangelessly, invariably present is consciousness. So consciousness, we arrive at the consciousness not as an object of thought. Okay, consciousness is arrived at that as the swarupam of the thought. Which thought? In every cognition, in every experience, in every thought, there is consciousness. And that consciousness is the content of I. And when you understand, there again understanding, see, we arrive at the consciousness as the invariable swarupam of all the variable thoughts. There is knowledge of consciousness being the swarupam of thoughts. And that knowledge of consciousness obtaining as the swarupam of all the, as the invariable consciousness present in all the variable cognitions, the knowledge takes place, that knowledge of consciousness being the swarupam of the thoughts is what? Akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Like how any knowledge of any object takes place, the knowledge of consciousness being the swarupam of the subject also takes place. Is it clear? Knowledge of any object. Now there is clock, there is wall clock, there is board, there is light. When you, any thought comes in contact with any object, I said when your attention is focused on any object, the knowledge of that given object takes place. Like now, Shastram helps you arrive at the reality. not as an object. Your very clear consciousness, the pure abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is not an object of thought, you're not an object of sense organs, not an object of words, object of... But how do you arrive at it? Now here, this Patibodha Viditam Matam helps you arrive at the reality as an invariable consciousness obtaining in all the variable cognitions. There does take place a knowledge of reality. The knowledge of reality takes place. That knowledge also is what? Vritti jnanam. Like how knowledge of any object is vritti jnanam, knowledge of reality is also vritti jnanam. Understand? But reality which is arrived at is not an object of thought, isn't it? It is swarupam of the thought. And his vastu is akhandam vastu. Reality is akhandam. Akhandam is what? One indivisible, partless whole. How is it understood? The following mantra say, Tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. Hey, this Brahma, the absolute reality of the whole cosmos, the only truth of everything implied by the term Brahman, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is free from time, object, space, limitations, implied by the term Brahma, is none other than the same consciousness. This consciousness which you arrive at as the Surupam of the I is the same truth of everything here. So Upanishad presents a Mahavakyam where you are equated to the Lord, the whole, the truth, Brahma, the truth of everything. Essentially. Which means there is no second reality. The second reality, akhandam, is one indivisible, partless whole. It is free from all limitations, free from all differences. Sajatiya, vijatiya, swagata, bheda, rahitam. Kala desha vastu aparichinnam. Kala desha vastu aparichinnam vastu. Free from all threefold limitations. Therefore, is one indivisible, partless whole, akhandam vastu. Akhandam. But how, where do you arrive at it? In your khandam mind. In your tiny little mind, as very surupam of every thought, very truth of I, the truth of knower, you arrive at it. Then you understand how every, the whole day from morning till evening, what you have is nothing but experiences. Consciousness can never be experienced. It need not be experienced because every experience is consciousness. And every cognition is consciousness. Every knowledge is consciousness because any experience involves the thought is there. And the thought, what is invariably, changelessly, continuously present in all the variable cognitions as the thoughts keep on changing, is this consciousness. Of these two aspects, consciousness and the thought, which aspect is the content of I? Consciousness. Okay, therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi. That understanding must be very clear. So Upanishad repeats many times, there is no truth, there is no Brahma, there is no other object which people worship is Brahma. Brahman is in fact this consciousness which you arrive at as your own Swarupa. You are that Brahma, Tadeva Brahmatvam Viddhi, Neham Nedam Yadidam Upasate. There is no object which people worship as an object is not Brahma. Anything which people worship as an object is not Brahma. But Brahman is that which you arrive at, that Tadeva, which you arrive at as the Swarupam of I, as the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, mind of the mind, truth of I. That is Brahma. So with that, first section over, first chapter gets over, and second chapter, and the teacher wanted to have a test, and he asked, he wanted to know whether people have understood or not. And the student, all of them kept quiet, one student gave a brilliant answer. Another important verse is, the teacher said, what is that reality? The teacher first said, reality is that which is neither the known nor the unknown, which is distinct from the known and the unknown. Viditat, aviditat, adhi. Viditat, aviditat, adhi. I said viditam means known, aviditam is unknown. Unknown also can become the known. Unknown is knowable. Unknown also is object of knowledge. Known also is object of knowledge. Because unknown can become the known. And when we say this Atma is that which is distinct from the known and the unknown, means what is that which is other than anyadeva tad viditad aviditad adhi, means anyadeva, means this Atma which is Brahma is something other than the known and the unknown. What is other than the known and the unknown is the knower. So knower is Atma. This is viditat, aviditat, adhi. This is where this drigdrishyaveka prakriya, the method of distinguishing the knower from the known, is inbuilt in this net Upanishad through this mantra. It is revealed. So vidita. Anyadevatad viditat aviditat adhi. Teacher makes it very clear. In fact, we have to understand Atma is neither the known nor the unknown, means Atma is neither the unmanifest or the manifest. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. Atma is distinct from cause and effect, knower and the known. Unmanifest and the manifest. In fact, Atma is neither the knower nor the known also. Atma is distinct from the knower, known, knowledge. Knower is a temporary status attributed to the Atma. Atma is not the knower, even the knower is Atma. Atma is not knowledge, knowledge is Atma. Atma is not the known, but the known is also Atma. Everything is Atma. Okay? Give an answer. So the student also has to give a brilliant answer. The student says, the teacher said, if anyone knows, says, they have understood the Atma, they have known the Atma, they know the Atma. If anyone says, I know the Atma, and he does not know. When anyone says, I know the Atma, Suveda, I know Atma very well. If he says, that person does not know. And the student gives an answer, very clever answer. I do not know, I do not say, I do not think I know. I do not think, I do not know, but I know. And whoever knows what my expression that I do not know, I do not think I know, I do not think I do not know, But I know who understands my expression in my class, my classmates, and who has understood, that student also has understood the teaching. Which means the student said, that if the student says, I know, it is wrong. Why? For him, Atma has become an object. The student says, I do not know, even then the student has been made the object. Which means after all the teaching, he says that he does not know. So whatever answer he gives will be a problem. Oh, I know. It's a problem. He makes Atma object. Yes, I do not know. Even the teacher will say, my God, I taught whole class and you have not understood. He'll be upset. Has to give a different answer. I do not think I know. I do not think I do not know, but I know. So, Vedacha Naham Manye Suvedeti Nona Vedeti Vedacha Yonas Tadveda Tadveda Nona Vedeti Vedacha. But memorize this mantra. And Shankaracharya writes that Vedacha now indicates what? He understood, for him, Atma is not an object of knowledge. For him, Atma is the very surupama of the subject. Okay? Atma is distinct from the known for him. He made it very clear. So he gave an answer. And the teaching comes to an end. The student gave a brilliant answer. Teacher also has nothing to talk. So class comes to an end. Teacher and student go away. Then the Upanishad comes and says, tells whoever says, for who the people for whom Atma is known, they do not know Atma. For people for whom Atma is not known, Atma is unknown, Atma is not an object, they know the Atma. Vijana, vijnatam, avijanatam. People for whom Atma is not an object, they know what Atma is. People for whom Atma is an object of knowledge, they do not know what Atma is. Isn't it? So, in all these lessons, one fact is made very clear. What is only the reality. And that reality obtains only, reality has to be added only in the form of pure knowledge. And as pure knowledge, it is available for recognition only in human mind, for a human being. That we ask the very swarupam truth of the subject of knowledge knower. Once you arrive at the reality as your own swarupam, it is possible for you to understand the same reality being the reality of everything, Brahma. In fact, other than Atma, nothing else is here. What about the known? Knower is consciousness. You resolve the knower in consciousness. What about the known now? The known are just forms, names and functions. Non-substantial forms, names and functions. They do not have independent existence. The known, which can be reduced to forms, names and functions, are nothing but material aspects. And the matter has no independent existence at all. Therefore, matter is non-different from consciousness. At the same time, consciousness is distinct from the matter. And therefore, matter is not countable as a parallel reality. Therefore, matter is mithya. Only satyam is Atma, the consciousness. Between matter and consciousness, what is the relationship? Satyam-mithya relationship. Which means, matter is consciousness. It is the big leap. Matter is consciousness. You are consciousness, you arrive at it. I sense is resolved in consciousness. Everything else is also what? Consciousness. Brahma. Aham Brahma, Aham Atma, Sarvam Atma, Aham Idam Sarvam. I, the Self, am the Whole. Understand? Matter is non-countable as a parallel reality. Matter is neither real, it is nor unreal, because it is not non-existent. But at the same time, it is there, it enjoys dependent existence. It comes and goes. Therefore, it is mithya. Mithya is a very name used to mean that which comes and goes, that which does not have independent existence. So the entire objective universe, which is material universe, is mithya, which comes and goes, becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest, becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest, becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest. When the thoughts rise, world comes into manifestation. Thoughts resolve, world also becomes unmanifest. It doesn't have independent existence. World is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge for it to come to light. And manifestation is dependent on the source of manifestation. Therefore, our consciousness, Atma, is independent of matter for its existence. Even though the matter is manifesting medium for consciousness, matter does not have independent existence at all. Therefore, it is not countable as a parallel reality. It is mithya. Teaching is over. First two chapters. The third chapter comes quickly. And the teacher wants to give the story, same teaching through the story. And he presents, there's a battle between the Devas and Asuras. Devas won, Asuras lost. And Devas were very proud. They claimed the victory as their victory. They enjoyed, they were reveling in their own victory. And Bhagavan thought, these people do not understand. Devas also evolved jivas, but still they're jivas, ajnanis. So, Ishvara, in fact, everything, not only the individual body, mind, complex functions because of the blessing of consciousness, Atma, even the entire material world, all these phenomena, devatas, every devata also functions. The sun is a sun because of the Atma. Moon is the moon because of the Atma. Every plant is a plant because of the Atma. Everything here is as it is because of the Atma. Therefore, but they also forget. And there, it's the story is like that. Ishvara appeared as Yaksha. And when Yaksha appeared, the Indra, Deva, Indra, Vayu, Agnihi, they were so excited, highly they were surprised. They were seeing the brilliant form. They wanted to know who Yaksha was. Agni was sent. Agni failed. And Vayu went. Vayu failed. Because only Yaksha only put in front of them just a blade of grass. Agni could not burn. And then fire could not burn. Vayu could not lift. They came back humiliated. Then Indra went. Yaksha disappeared. And Indra was so sad. At least they had some conversation. He was not allowed to have any conversation. And he stood there itself and where Yaksha disappeared. And there, because of his commitment, he was perseverance, that he wanted to know where Yaksha was. That perseverance of Indra actually shows his commitment, or he wanted desperate to know. And wherever that desire, a burning urge to know is, there definitely grace works. And because of Indra's punyam, and there he got a teacher. The guru appeared. Guru is none other than Haimavati. Uma came. Uma, and he asked that Uma, who that Yaksha was. And Uma, one word, one answer, one sentence, Uma gave him Atma Jnanam. Uma stands for Shastram and Guru. He said, that Yaksha who appeared and disappeared is none other than Brahma, the truth of the whole. And which means Indra became Jnani, and Indra came back, Indra taught, and even other Agni and Vayu also became Jnanis. Therefore, first we in the next, in the beginning of the fourth chapter, we saw how all of them became exalted among all the devas because of the wisdom. What added to their glory was, what made them glorious, it is the jnanam. Therefore, that's how Upanishad presents. Whoever has jnanam becomes a glorious person, because its jnanam always earns real glory, genuine glory. And there again, after three devas also, Indra is the most exalted jnani, because Indra was the one who to have got the jnanam directly from Parvati, Haimavati Uma. So he also, they became wise. Then afterwards, Upanishad presents Upasanani. Remember, Upasanani. Why? Because the teaching was over. The Guru Upasanam, we saw the three Upasanams, four Upasanams. Two Adhideva Upasanam, one Adhyatma Upasanam, one Gunavisishta Upasanam, one Vidyut Upasanam, and Winking Upasanam, Nimesha Upasanam, Vidyut Upasanam, then Gunavisishta Upasanam. And how this Yaksha, these meditations are based on the story. Yaksha appeared and disappeared. Similarly here also, this lightning comes and goes. Lightning comes, world shines. Lightning goes, world disappears. When there's manifestation of knowledge, world shines. Again, the thoughts resolve. There's no manifestation, world disappears. You see, Yaksha stands for Ishvara, who is shining in the home of the Jagat. Comes and goes, isn't it? Manifestation is, manifest knowledge is Ishvara. So here, also winking also is sort of, when you open the eyes, the world shines. Close the eyes, world goes, which means the light of seeing, in the presence of light of seeing, world shines. Light of seeing, it is not there, world disappears. Therefore, winking is said to be an alambanam for Yaksha. Even lightning is alambanam for Yaksha. Just to see that, see how it happens. This is two adhyatma, adhidaiva upasanani, upasanams. Then we also had adhyatma upasanam, which is where your own mind is important. It's a subtle upasanam. Here, the pratibodha viditam and this mana mind upasanam, where mind is taken as an upasanam, object of meditation, alambanam for meditation. Very important thing here is, in the thoughts rise. Thoughts do not illumine, cannot illumine consciousness, but thoughts serve as manifesting medium for consciousness. Whenever thoughts rise, consciousness, which is uniform, unmoving, formless, abstract consciousness, becomes recognizable in the presence of consciousness, thoughts. So consciousness lends existence to thoughts, but thoughts manifest consciousness. When thoughts manifest means consciousness is manifest, it is recognizable. Therefore, as though thoughts are touching consciousness, as though thoughts are revealing consciousness. This is a mind upasanam, the mind meditating upon one's own mind, how thoughts serve as manifesting medium, thereby help us recognize the presence of consciousness. Is it clear? This is adhyatma upasanam. And guna visishta upasanam, there the verse Bhagavan is given a beautiful name, Tadvanam. Why Bhagavan is given the name Tadvanam? Because Tadvanam, Vanam itself means that which deserves worship is Tadvanam. And the Tadvanam means, what is that which deserves worship? What is that which is adorable? Anything, no, is Vanam. So in fact, anything in the world whichever has anything, any adorable quality, special thing, and that is Ishvara. Adorability obtaining in any living being is Ishvara. Therefore, Ishvara is the one who is in the form of adorable in every being. Anything adorable in every being is none other than Ishvara. Seeing Ishvara as the one who is adorable in everything, worshipable in everything, is what? Seeing Ishvara as the Tadvanam. Understand? So which means we don't need to go and search for Ishvara. Wherever anything beautiful, wonderful, praiseworthy, laudable, applaudable, is all Ishvara. But for Ishvara's presence, no achievement is possible, no accomplishment is possible, no glory is possible, no beauty is possible, nothing is possible. Therefore, if at all anything adorable in anywhere in anything, everything is Ishvara. Okay, seeing Ishvara's any talent as Ishvara's vibhuti is appreciation of Ishvara as the adorable in everything. This is guna visishta upasanam. It is Bhagavan, it is Ishvara upasanam, saguna brahma upasanam. Is it clear? And Upanishad said, whoever practices this meditation also will become a center of attraction, which means they will become the person who meditates upon Ishvara's, this Ishvara as the adorability in every being. Such a person will become himself an adorable person. That is the palam. Sarvani bhutani tam abhisamvanchanti. Mantra comes. Remember? And afterwards, after the upasanams, again the student comes and asks, Upanishadam bruhi. Can you please teach me Upanishad? And the teacher thought, oh my god, whole class I've been teaching all these hours. And he comes and asks me to teach Upanishad. But still, Shankaracharya gives a different meaning. And we don't need to take it Upanishad as the Upanishad itself. It is something, Upanishad also means secret. Which means, what is it which is said to be revealed to him? In fact, sometimes, even though the teaching is done, the teaching sometimes assimilation is possible, understanding is possible. Even if you understand assimilation is possible, even knowing that people are not able to enjoy the benefit of that teaching, and which means there is some problem is with the antarkarana. Okay? Not the teaching or the teacher, the problem is with one's own antahkaranam. You are also not problem, you are wonderful, but your point is the problem. Okay? Problem is with the mind. So, that is when Bhagavad Gita it is said, you know, the mirror is okay. My face also okay, but reflection is not okay. What does it mean? The dusty mirror means what? The face won't be, reflection won't be clear. You wipe it clean. Suppose mirror is moving here and there. Then also my reflection won't be proper. The reflection has to be proper, the mirror must be clean, it must be unmoving also. Like that, antakarna must be steady and pure. And for antakarna shuddhi, antakarna aishchalyam, in fact, definitely disciplines are very, very, very important. Therefore, we saw, and Krishna's, the last mantra we saw in the morning, in fact, this Shamaha, Dhamaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, all these disciplines are very important. One has to really live a life of Karma Yoga, the commitment to Dharma, the proper attitude. That is what is in fact indirectly said, using the words Tapaha, Karma, Shamaha, Dhamaha, etc. In fact, Brahma Vidya, Atma Jnanam, knowledge of the truth, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, okay, that Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, Brahma Vidya is possible only if you are mentally disciplined, only prepared mentally, otherwise impossible. Okay? This knowledge has to happen only in one's own mind. This reality has to be discovered only in one's own mind as one's own sorupam. Only as the truth of the knower, never as an object. This is the biggest difference. All other sciences will take you towards the object. See that. Do this experiment. But only for this absolute wisdom, you have to turn the whole attention inward. Which means, as your own sorupam, you have to discover with the help of the Shastra Pramana. Isn't it? And that's why Shastram says there, Brahma Vidya is likened to a cow. And the four legs of the cows or all the disciplines which have to be followed strictly in order to prepare one's mind for this jnanam are likened to the four legs of the cows. The cow is standing, Brahma Vidya cow is standing on his four legs of disciplines. And in fact, the other limbs of the cow are actually the Vedangas, the Vedas, the rest of the things are these other limbs of the cows. And this Upanishad, this Brahma Vidya cow, definitely needs to be preserved and protected and looked after. You can't just leave the cow, Brahma Vidya cow somewhere else, no? If the cow needs to be protected and looked after, it needs a proper accommodation, proper ayatanam abode, where cow can be protected. And what is that cow shed? What is the ayatanam for this Brahma Vidya cow? Satyam, truthfulness is the ayatanam. Understand? Therefore, Brahma Vidya, Atma Jnanam is established. No? Which means all the dharmas and values which are like the legs of this Brahma Vidya, which is like the cow. And this, you can't, it has to be preserved. It enjoy the benefit of this knowledge, it means it must be maintained and sustained, assimilated, for which it needs a very protective, highly, highly protective, supportive abode, ayatanam, cow shed, which is the discipline of truthfulness in speech. Okay? The teaching is over. And finally, Upanishad says, whoever has understood the teaching here, definitely that person will become free from all punya papams. All punya papams means he become free from sanchita karma, agami karma. He will resolve his wrong identity. He will be free from all the wrong notions he has about himself. In fact, while living, you are not physically changing anything outside. The world need not be changed for your happiness and peace. The world is already wonderful and beautiful. You need not change yourself also. You need not change, you cannot change yourself. Nor can you change the world. The change need not happen on the part of the world or on the part of yourself. Change has to take place only in your perception. Okay, what we need is not your change or the change of the world. The perspective change is what is required, for which, in which error can be corrected, for which knowledge alone you need. For this wise person, the perspective change happens because a cognitive shift from anatma to the atma, the I-sense. Shift the I-sense cognitively from anatma to the atma, and from the standpoint of atma, he sees himself differently, he sees the world differently, he is no more dependent on the world for his happiness or security. Okay? And for him, his own, so he is of the nature of happiness. And this person, when all wrong notions resolve, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all wrong notions resolve, then thereby, without having destroyed, exhausted any punya papam, he becomes free from the hold of all punya papams. Now it is like how people apply for loans from the banks. Get lots of loans. Lots of loans. Government banks give loans. After taking all the loans, this person disappears without paying a penny back to the bank. It is papam. You know that. But here, imagine, suppose instead of you running, you don't need to run away somewhere. Bank sends us a notice. Come on, you have taken lots of loans, you don't need to pay any money back. Like that, once you have jnanam, you need not exhaust your sanchitam karma. Why? You are not even the doer, not even enjoyer. You don't have punyam and papam. Why should you have pay back? Understand? You are given a note, you have not taken, received any loans from our bank. Is it clear? The person without exhaust, that's why you don't need to wait. Some people come and ask, Swamiji, when should I exhaust all my punya papams and one day I attain freedom? People think you have to exhaust all your punya papams one fine day. You think you'll finish all of them, you can become free? I tell you, every time you exhaust a little bit, you're accumulating new. Where is the question of exhausting all your punya papams? Impossible. Just perspective change. Shift the essence from body, mind, and complex to Atma, the consciousness. See yourself being abstract, formless, all-pervasive reality implied by the term Atma. You are really, that's the fact. This is the abstract, subtlest fact, whether you like it or not. You must be mature enough to understand this fact, to claim this fact, okay, accept this fact. You must be really mature. Otherwise, it's difficult even to accept this fact, to understand, leave alone understanding the fact. Sometimes people don't want to accept, oh, I'm a formless consciousness. No more, so you can, if you are, I'm a formless consciousness, then how can I go to spa? No more pedicure, manicure. That is vyavahara, okay? You can do all those things. What I'm saying, whether you like it or not, this is the fact. So, I am the doer notion, this notion gone, I am the enjoyer notion gone. When did consciousness have a first birth? No more second birth. Consciousness is timeless reality. There's no first birth. Where's the question of having next birth? Consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. How can actionless Atma have punyam or papam? Consciousness is not the enjoyer, experiencer. Consciousness is the truth of the enjoyer and experiencer. Therefore, I am the enjoyer. Aham karta, aham bhokta. These notions resolve. Therefore, the person becomes free from sanchitam karma, agami karma. And even the varadham karma, he is objective towards his, cognitively objective towards his body, mind, and complex. Therefore, even paradha karma, he just lives his paradha without being afflicted by paradha. This person is jivan muktaha. Such a person, paradha gets exhausted. His mind will resolve for good. Sukshma will resolve for good. And he remains as Atma. He remains as Brahman. Always. It means his physical, I told you, physical body gets disintegrated, becomes one with Virat, forms part of the grass universe. The Sukshma resolves and becomes one with subtle aspects, Hiranyagarbha. Even the Ajnanam, the causal body resolves, becomes one with Antaryamishvara. Atma remains as Atma, no more life of becoming. Okay, samsarat vimuchyate. This is the fastest Keno Upanishad. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotramatho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Maha Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranamasva Nirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmaste Mayi Santu Te Mayi Santu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So we have to pray to Bhagavan. Hey Bhagavan, please help us resolve the wrong notion about the self entertained in this mind. And to resolve this wrong notion entertained in this mind helplessly, choicelessly, naturally, because of ignorance. Help me resolve the ignorance. how can I help resolve it? By revealing your swarupam, by revealing your essential nature, obtaining as my own nature. Help me reveal thy swarupam, obtaining as my own nature. Thereby help me resolve the ignorance and ignorance caused erroneous notion, ego. Resolve, help me resolve the ego. We can't give up ego. We have to seek Bhagavan's grace. And to resolve this ego, to resolve the ignorance, to have division of Bhagavan in our own mind as our own swarupam, the mind has to be clean. If Murti has to be installed in a temple, the sanctum, sanctorum must be cleansed. Having division of Bhagavan as our own swarupam in our own mind is like installing Murti in the temple. Our temple is the sanctum, sanctorum. The body is the temple. In the temple, we have sanctum, sanctorum, which is our mind. If we discover Bhagavan, always there is no time Bhagavan is not. If we discover it, there is installation, pratishta. It needs to be cleansed. So we need mental purity and silliness. So we seek, request Bhagavan, help us. Make efforts, help us resolve, help us manage our thoughts, help us manage our mind. Help us, Bhagavan has to bless us to have mastery over our sense organs. Even Bhagavan has to help us overcome our craving for time-bound sense pleasures and objects. Above all, Bhagavan has to bless us the strength to live a life of dharma, that we can be embodiment of compassion. We can be kind and compassionate to all the beings. Thereby we can uplift ourselves from this ocean of samsara. That's the prayer. Avinayamapanaya Vishnu Damayamanashamaya Vishayamrugatrishnam Bhutadayam Vistaraya Taraya Samsara Sagaratah.
Swamiji, it was mentioned in the class today that the Atma is not a knower, not knowledge, not knowing, not knower. My question is, if the Atma is not a knower, then how can it will the mind to follow the objects?
Yeah.
It is Agyata or Gyata, or we cannot say.
Yeah. You ask me the question, why do you say Atma is not the knower? If Atma is not the knower, how can Atma be the activator of the mind? That's the question. You are right. Atma is definitely not the knower. Atma is not the activator of the mind. Okay? But there is no knower other than Atma. There is no activator other than Atma. Why I say Atma is not the knower or the activator? Because knowing is not an action on the part of Atma. Activating is not an action on the part of Atma. Atma does not will. Atma uses will. Let me get up. Let me go and do this work. Let me make the mind function. Understand? There is no will on the part of the Atma. The will is Atma, but Atma does not have will. Okay? That's why I always give the example of light. You will say, light is of the nature of illumining. Light alone illumines all the objects, we say here. Light is present. In the presence of light, all the opaque things shine. If we turn the light off, all the opaque things do not shine. Because opaque things do not have light of their own. they are dependent on some other light to come to light. Opaque things, because of their opaque nature, they cannot shine independently. The opaque things have to shine, thereby to have the status of being the existent. Opaque things have to come to light, they need to be illumined. It means opaque things to shine, for them to shine, to come to light, to have the status of being existent, opaque things are dependent on some other light. Without the light, they can't shine. If light is there, they shine. They shine after some other light. They do not have light of their own. So if light is, they reflect the light and then they shine. Because reflection of light, they shine. Is it clear? Now I say, opaque things are all illumined. Therefore they shine. Illumined means there is illumination. Illumination of light, opaque things are shining, they illumined. Now, how can there be illumined? How can there be illumination without the illuminator? Okay, the illumined has to be there, there must be illumination. The illumination has to be there, there must be illuminator. And who is the illuminator? If we say, I will say, light is not the illuminator. Why do you say light is not the illuminator? If you ask me, who is the illuminator? Ask the question, who is the illuminator? Illuminator is light. Illuminator is light, but the light is not the illuminator. You make, okay? Illuminator is light, light is not the illuminator. Why? Because illuminator is not an action. It is the nature of the light. Light does not make any effort to illumine the objects. Light by its mere presence. Light is illumining, is the swarupam, is not an action in the part of the light. Is it clear? Therefore, from the standpoint of the illumined objects, illuminator status qualification is given to the light. Not from the standpoint of the light, the standpoint of illumined opaque. Is it clear? Similarly, Atmani consciousness is not the knower, but from the standpoint of the known thoughts, the knower status is attributed to consciousness. The knower is consciousness, definitely. There is no knower other than consciousness, Atma. But Atma is not the knower. The knowledge is consciousness. But understand, the known is also Atma. There cannot be knower, known, or knowledge without the Atma. Therefore, knower is Atma, known is Atma, knowledge is Atma. But Atma is not the knower, not the knowledge, not the known. Atma is of the nature of knowing, therefore implied by the term knowledge. Pure knowledge, source of knowledge. Is it clear? Knowing is not an action, swarupam. Therefore, even the knower is only a qualification, temporary status attributed to the consciousness Atma from the standpoint of the known. Is it clear?
So this is why the answer is indirect. The reason that the teacher did not answer directly?
The teacher did not give the answer directly because consciousness is not within the realm of knower, known knowledge things. If you gave any answer, the answer must be given how? Only by uttering a word, isn't it? Any answer given only in the form of words, isn't it? Anything what he says, the teacher says, the student will start searching for the meaning of what the teacher says, the word utters. Understand, if he says consciousness, or Atma, or you, anything what he says, he'll start searching. And the meaning of the word can be only within the realm of the overknown knowledge difference. But Atma is distinct from the knower known knowledge. But the knower known knowledge are non-different from the no Atma. Is it clear now? The knower known knowledge are non-different from the Atma. But Atma is distinct from the knower known knowledge. Atma is not the knower, Atma is not the known, Atma is not the... But what about knower known knowledge? Everything is Atma. It's like water is not the wave, but the wave is water. Is it clear? Water is distinct from the wave, but wave is non-different from the water. This inseparability. That is why they can't be counted as parallel reality. There are two independent realities, consciousness and matter. Matter is dependent, so it's not countable as a parallel reality. So we say it is mithya.
Just along the same lines, therefore we cannot say knowledge of reality. That's actually an oxymoron. Knowledge of reality.
Yeah. We can say.
Cannot say.
No, we can say. Knowledge of reality is knowledge of reality. Relatively we can say. Yes?
Relatively.
No. Knowledge of reality, we can say knowledge of reality. Knowledge of Atma, we can say. Even though reality is not an object of knowledge, still, knowledge of reality does take place. When we use the pramanam called Shastram, when we study, when the Shastra's words are unfolded, knowledge of the reality does take place. But when knowledge of reality takes place, reality is not an known, not as an object of real thought, but reality is arrived at, known as the swarupam of the thought. Subject of. We are truth of the subject.
This is where my mind doesn't get to one thing. There is knowledge, there must be an object of knowledge.
Yes.
Since it cannot be an object, because we cannot reach it, there's something, it is knowledge, but it is not knowledge.
No. Reality is of the nature of knowing. Is it clear? Therefore, the word knowledge is used to imply reality. The word knowledge, we say knowledge, pure knowledge, the word knowledge is used to imply reality, because reality is of the nature of knowing. But here, the knowledge, reality which is of the nature of knowing, which is implied by the term knowledge, okay, is never an object of knowledge, it's the source of knowledge. But there, when the thoughts rise, thought in the presence of consciousness together become the knowledge of objects. We have two knowledge. One is source of knowledge called pure knowledge. We have manifest knowledge in the form of thoughts. You are talking about the manifest knowledge is in the form of a thought. The source of knowledge is reality. Okay? The source of knowledge also implied by the term jnanam, knowledge. The manifest knowledge also is known by the term knowledge. Manifest knowledge is vritti jnanam. Knowledge which arises in the form of a thought which comes and goes. Now you have the world is knowledge, isn't it? I am is knowledge of existence of yourself. Knowledge, the world is, light is, means knowledge of the existence of the world. Is now. But in deep sleep state, this knowledge is not there. Is it clear? The world is. The knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is not there in deep sleep state, which means the knowledge comes and goes. This knowledge which comes and goes is vritti jnanam, is called manifest knowledge, which obtains in the form of a thought. Is it clear? But if the knowledge comes and goes, but there's something else which is the knower of, okay, the knower of the presence and absence of knowledge. In deep sleep state, there is no knowledge of the existence of the world. In deep sleep state, there is no knowledge of the existence of the self. Okay, In waking state, there's knowledge of the existence of the world. There's knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. I am, the world is. What is this I am and world is? Knowledge of the existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world. This knowledge is, when the knowledge is, it is waking state. When this knowledge is not there, in deep sleep state, you do not know you are. There's no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. There's no knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. Which means the knowledge is not. But this, the knowledge being present is known, knowledge being absent also is known. Means the manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? When the knowledge is not there, we call it ignorance. Which means ignorance in deep sleep state is known, knowledge in waking state is known. Is it clear? And that what is that which knows the presence of knowledge? What is that which knows the presence of ignorance? What is that which knows the presence of knowledge? Understand? What is it which knows the presence of ignorance? That knower is reality, pure knowledge. Okay? The knower of knowledge and ignorance is pure knowledge, which is reality, Atma. The knower of ignorance and knowledge. Even in waking state, you take for example, you know that you know Hebrew.
He knows he doesn't know Hebrew.
You know that you do not know Hebrew. At least you know that Hebrew is a language, isn't it? I also know that Hebrew is a language. I don't know, but I know the word Hebrew. Hebrew is a language. That much I know. But what is a Hebrew? For me, it sounds like when I hear some people talking, isn't it? Try to understand. No. What I'm saying, you know that you do not know Hebrew. Do you know? Do you know that you do not know Hebrew? Okay, very good. Do you know German?
I do.
Which means your knowledge of German language is known. Your ignorance of Hebrew language also is known. Which means your ignorance is known, your knowledge is known. So you are the knower distinct from known knowledge and known ignorance. That knower, you are the source of knowledge, pure knowledge. This is Atma. Clear?
All your explanations are very clear, Samji. The only thing is the expression knowledge of reality. For me, it sounds more correct to say knowledge is reality. Because it is
yeah, you are correct. You are perfect, 100% right. Knowledge is reality because reality is of the nature of knowing. Correct. Similarly, knower is knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge. Understand? Known is also knowledge because knowledge is reality. Because reality is of the nature of knowing. That's correct. Knowledge is reality, perfect. But that reality being the knowledge is known, isn't it? Knowledge of reality also takes place. Knowledge of reality should take place. Even though reality is not an object of knowledge, but knowledge of reality should take place. That's why the whole teaching study is what? For what? Knowledge of reality, which is knowledge. Knowledge of knowledge. Is it clear?
Yes.
Knowledge of knowledge has to take place. Correct? That's why Shastra study. The thing is, knowledge of anything and everything is object of knowledge. Isn't knowledge of anything else other than Atma is knowledge of an object only. But knowledge of Atma is knowledge of Swarupam of the subject. truth of the subject. Once you arrive at the knowledge of the Swarupam of the subject, you will find out that reality, Swarupam of the subject, is the only Swarupam of the object also. From the standpoint of that Swarupam, you resolve, you negate this knower known duality itself. Is it clear? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. In fact, when people hear, these doubts always will rise, because we use the term knowledge. That's why always I try to use Atma, Brahma, reality, reality, reality in the beginning. And when we say reality is implied by the term Jnanam, even the word Jnanam, reality is not the immediate meaning of the word knowledge also. Isn't it? But reality is implied by the term Jnanam because of its nature of knowing. Jnanam Brahma. Jnanaswarupaha. Jyotiswarupaha. Paranjyoti. All these terms are used because reality is of the nature of knowing. What does it know? Knowing is its nature.